Richard Nixon's secretary. What was her name again? Rosemary Woods. How many of you remember Rosemary Woods, the famous tape? What were the Watergate tapes or whatever? The tapes, that everything was taped. But anyway, he gave her, he'd had a conversation with her one day and told her how Richard Nixon could, you know, get over her. I mean, how he could get through this Watergate mess. And if she would have, I guess if he would have taken your advice, history would have been changed. And I mean that sincerely. So, but anyway, he was a Secret Service detail for the White House during Richard Nixon's days. So anyway, but the Lord has saved him, and now he's part of the army of the Lord, both he and his wife. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we work our way through this second chapter. Because the Thessalonians had been deceived by the lie that they had missed the rapture and were now in the day of the Lord, Paul is telling them here in this portion of Scripture to remember what they had been previously taught. And that was that the day of the Lord has not come because the Antichrist has not yet been revealed, which means his appearance is a necessary precursor to the day of the Lord. He must appear and commit the ultimate act of apostasy, which is the abomination of desolation, before the day of the Lord arrives. And so having discussed this act of apostasy by which the Antichrist will be revealed, Paul now takes a comprehensive, a more thorough look at the Antichrist, at this satanically possessed man. And we see that in verses 6 through 10. Let me read them for you. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And because of the Antichrist's evil, undiluted, unrestrained, seductive power, verse 10 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, he will tempt the world to give him unlimited influence and authority over it. And this evening I want us to see how Paul describes those who will follow, who will be influenced by the Antichrist, who will yield to him, will follow his lead. And so let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, I pray that we'll not be deceived. Lord, I pray that we'll give heed to the light that you have given to us. Lord, how important that is. I truly believe we need to be true to the light that we have already received if we are to be given more light. And Lord, I pray that we'll be obedient to that light so that you can continue to grow us in your grace and knowledge and the understanding we need to walk worthy of you. Lord, thank you that you still call. Lord, if there are those that need to be saved even tonight, Lord, perhaps there are tares in the midst of wheat, I pray that that they will come, that one will come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Thank you for the Jeffries family. Thank you for their desire to be a part of Westside. Thank you for how you've used them already in their lives. And Lord, whatever you have for them here. Lord, direct their steps in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Paul first says of those who follow the Antichrist, those who are taken by his deadly influence, that they will perish. Notice again verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Those who fall for the lies of Satan's emissary will forever die. Their names will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and so they will not only die physically. Remember, Christ will smite the nations with a sharp sword that proceedeth out of his mouth, and we see that in Revelation 19:15. They will die spiritually. They will be cast along with the beast, the false prophet, along with Satan, the beast, of course, being the Antichrist, will be cast into the lake of fire. And we see that in Revelation 20, verse 15. Now, in the next several statements, the end of verse 10 through verse 12, Paul specifies two reasons why those who follow the Antichrist will perish. And so that's basically our outline this evening. Very simplistic. But the two reasons why those who follow the Antichrist will perish. And the first reason is because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. See that in verse 10. They will perish because they reject the truth. Now the phrase, the love of the truth, appears only here in the New Testament and tells us that these unregenerate are eternally lost. They will perish not because they do not hear or understand the truth, they do, but because they do not love and thus receive the truth. They hate the truth and thus they reject the truth. And because they reject the truth, God rejects them. God doesn't reject them, and then they reject the truth. They reject the truth, and then God rejects them. Now, what is the truth that they reject? They receive not the love of the truth. Well, it includes both the word of truth, the gospel, and you see that statement in Colossians 1, verse 5, and the Lord Jesus, who is truth incarnate, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The point is the unsaved, the unbelievers, do not welcome, they do not accept either Jesus or his gospel. And keep in mind their antipathy to the truth is not intellectual but moral. It really is a self-imposed blindness. The Bible clearly teaches that all those who go to hell do so because they reject the truth. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They confess, we will not have this man rule over us. I'm sure you recall Christ's words as he considered Jerusalem's rejection of the truth. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet, prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Christ adds, if you'll turn back to John chapter 3, there's several passages I want us to look at tonight. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And then if you'll turn over to John chapter 5, to the unbelieving Jews, Jesus declared the following, John chapter 5, verse 38. And ye have not this his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Ye will not come to me. People that teach you don't have a free will, I don't understand. What do you do with a verse like that? You will not come to me that ye might have life. And Christ reiterates the same truth in John chapter 8. If you'll turn there, please. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Christ teaches that salvation involves loving him above everything else. He that loveth father, mother, more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now because the unredeemed do not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, verse 11 states, if you'll turn back to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 states, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion or an error. God will send them an error that they should believe a lie. Yes, as verse 9 and 10 tell us, the Antichrist will deceive people with satanically empowered miracle signs and wonders. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with deceivableness of unrighteousness. But God will also make sure that those who continually choose falsehood will be inextricably caught by it. They will believe the lie. As Proverbs 5:22 states, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of sin. Again, because these unregenerates love darkness rather than light, God will abandon them to the consequences of their choice to reject the gospel. And certainly the story of Pharaoh is a stark reminder that God does judicially harden the hearts of people, of man, of those who persist in hardening their hearts against the truth, against God's light. I want us to turn back to Exodus chapter 8. This kind of a review of the story of some verses about Pharaoh and the hardening of his heart and the consequence of that. Exodus chapter 8, beginning with verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said, the plague of frogs. Same chapter, verse 32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Chapter 9, verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And then if you'll turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 6. Verse 6, we read these words, wherefore then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? What happened? Consequently, God hardened Pharaoh's heart in a path from which he would never return. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a serious thing when God gives you light and you resist that light, and you continue to resist that light. There will come a point in your life where that light will no more affect you. It will no more have any transforming effect on your life. It's a serious thing, and I know you know this to be true, but it's a serious thing to hear the truth of God's word and not respond to it. Every time we hear the truth and we fail to respond, there's a little hardening that takes place. And so it's vitally important that when you hear the truth, and I mean, you can see it for yourself, and the Spirit of God is impressing this upon your heart. It's not just what Pastor Beck says or Pastor Lane or Dr. Wadke or whoever might be up here, but you know in your heart that this is the truth. God is wooing you. God is speaking to you. God is trying to draw you, and you say no. Mark it down. Your heart is beginning to harden. And the more you resist, the less you're able to hear that still small voice, the less effective the Word of God becomes. And you get to a point where you can sit through a service and not be moved at all. I raise my hand. I think we play around with the Spirit of God. I think we play around with the truth. We hear the truth. We hear the truth at this church. I mean, I try to speak the truth. I'm just telling you, as I even tell my own heart, it's vitally important that we give heed to the truth of God's word. I think it's so important that not only does it keep our hearts from being hardened, it keeps that channel open so that the Spirit of God, so that we can hear the Spirit of God, so that we can continue to hear the Spirit of God, so that we can receive more light. I don't even know if I should say this, but I really believe we here at Westside try to preach the whole counsel of God. I think you need to be careful when you leave a place where the whole counsel of God is preached and you go to a place where the whole counsel of God is not preached. I think you're in trouble. I mean, if you're going to leave a West Side, go to a church that's like West Side. Amen? But I think really the light can almost cease when you have been given an opportunity to hear the truth, the unadulterated truth, and you turn your back on that and you go down a different road. I sometimes wonder then, where are you going? Where are you going? Does that make any sense to you? I mean, is that out of line? I hope not. I'm not trying to say we're the only church in town. We're not. But I do know we're endeavoring to preach the truth of God's word. And we're endeavoring to show you the light that God wants to give to you. And praise the Lord that we have that opportunity. Praise the Lord. And I really believe that people like yourselves who faithfully hear the truth and faithfully respond to the truth, the sky is the limit as far as your ability to grow in God's grace and knowledge. Well, because Pharaoh hardened his heart against the truth, God hardened Pharaoh's heart against the truth. And we see that in Exodus chapter 14. Verse 4 says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he think about this. God is saying, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Verse 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Same chapter, verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came in unto the sea after them, they remained not as so much as one of them. Wow, what a picture of what happens when a leader and his people, a nation, harden their hearts against the truth. God hardens their hearts to their own destruction. I think America has to be careful. There's truth preached every single day, probably 24 hours a day across this land. We hear the truth. When Kay and I are getting ready, we hear the truth. The radio is usually on. So we get preached to. And it's good preaching that my heart needs. But how much light God has given this nation, and yet how hardened to the truth we have become. To a point, I believe, and I was talking to Pete this morning after the service, he says people are changing. They're different now than they used to be. I just think even the integrity, I'm not sure exactly what you, do you want to elaborate on what you were referring to? I just think just the honesty of people today is not what it used to be. Keeping their word, being honest, being true to their word. When someone tells me they're going to call me, it's almost a surprise if they do. Should that be a surprise? If someone promises me they're going to do something, it's almost a surprise to me if they do it. We live in perilous times. I don't think the Antichrist's appearance is too far away. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not time to harden our hearts to the truth of God's word. It's time to yield to the Spirit's leading our hearts as the truth of God's word is unfolded to us. I think of, if you turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, a passage quoted some 6 times in the New Testament. God said to Israel, Isaiah 6, verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and their eye, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. What was God saying here? That he would, think about this, that he would prevent hard-hearted rejectors of the truth from ever responding to the preaching of the truth. The nation of Israel had gone too far. I asked myself,
I ask you, has America gone too far? Christ spoke in parables not only to reveal spiritual truth to believers, but keep this in mind, to also to conceal it in judgment on unbelievers. Christ said in Luke chapter 8, verse 10, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Wow. People come to a point where God no longer gives them the enablement to understand the truth, to hear and perceive the truth, because they have come to a point where they've rejected the truth too long. Now continuing, not only, if you'll turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, not only will those who follow the Antichrist perish because they receive not the love of the truth, they will perish, and here's the second reason, because they will take pleasure in unrighteousness. And by the way, the two always go together. Loving not the truth is followed by seeking pleasure in unrighteousness. You could say it this way. Not loving the truth means you'll love unrighteousness. Notice verse 12, that they all might be damned or condemned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The point here is to disbelieve the truth, follow me, is to disbelieve the truth is not simply academic. It's not academic skepticism. Rather, it is a practical attitude which subsequently affects the will. And in this case, the will inclines to unrighteousness, consents to it, resolves to live it, live in it, and delights to experience it. Again, it takes pleasure in unrighteousness, and it begins in the heart. Or it comes to pass in a heart that says no to the truth. I think we're all familiar, if you'll turn to Romans chapter 1, I think we're all familiar with Paul's words in this chapter that I think so aptly describes what we see today. Notice verse 19. Romans chapter 1, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. In other words, God has shown people the truth, the light. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Remember, the heavens declare the glory of God, his firmament showeth his handiwork, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not, or praised him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or conceited in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Notice verse 25, wherefore God also gave them up. And so they're rejecting the truth, okay? Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Sexual perversion is the result of the heart of man rejecting the truth and taking pleasure in unrighteousness. People say, well, you know, people are born homosexuals. People become homosexuals because they reject the truth. And in rejecting the truth, they open themselves up to taking pleasure in unrighteousness. And taking pleasure in unrighteousness, really, the culmination of taking pleasure in unrighteousness is sexual perversion. Does that make sense to you? Sexual perversion. A nice subject to talk about Sunday evening, amen? And so it surely matters that we understand that faith is both what we believe and how we live. Remember, faith without works, as James says, is dead, which means true faith delights in righteousness, it practices righteousness. If you truly are a Christian, if you are a tare, if you're a wheat, there will be evidence of that in the practice in your life of righteousness. 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7 tell us, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so let us, really from just a very strong portion of Scripture, let us make sure that we believe the truth, that we love the truth, which means then that we will take pleasure in righteousness. I think you and I always need to ask ourselves, and I know we have this flesh that desires to do evil. I mean, I have an old nature that lusts after things that are not appropriate. I haven't arrived. I haven't gotten to heaven yet. I still have the old man. But I can promise you, I have in me a desire to live righteously. I really do. I want to do right. I love the truth. A portion of Scripture like this teaches me so much. I love the truth, and I want to practice the truth, which means I want to practice righteousness. And I trust that's your heart's desire, that we love the truth, which means we will then take pleasure in righteousness. And you know, the blessing of that is you never succumb to the lie. You aren't deceived. If you're being taught the truth and you appropriate that truth in a righteous lifestyle, you won't succumb to the lies of Satan. We won't be deceived. God won't have to then harden our hearts. We won't perish like those who believe the Antichrist is the Christ. All right, that's our lesson tonight. Real nice study, amen? Really all warm and fuzzy stuff, amen? Anyone have any thoughts? I mean, is this what you... I mean, this is what I saw from the text. Is that what you saw? Amen? Thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray that we'll be people who respond to the light God gives to us. Lord, I see folk all the time who have been given so much light and then they really turn in another direction, and it seems like they really never become thereafter all that God has or would want them to be. Lord, help us to be true to the light you've given to us. Lord, might there never be a time where you have to harden our hearts because we've hardened our hearts so long to the truth of your word. Lord, might we not perish because we do not take, because we take pleasure in unrighteousness, because we love not the truth. Oh Lord, might that not be named amongst us, Lord. Oh, I pray that we'll be a people who walk zealously after you. Lord, that we'll put on that shield of faith wherewith we can quench all the deceptions, the fiery darts of the wicked, that we won't be deceived by the lies of Satan. Bless now these dear folk. Thank you for them. Bless them for coming back tonight. Encourage their hearts. Might they know they are loved and they are appreciated. Lord, grow them in your grace and knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen.